Please be seated. Good morning. When my sister and I were little girls, Mom and Dad had a bedtime ritual we would always follow. We would say the Lord's Prayer together, and then we would ask Dad to say what we called the Mary Prayer. Dad was Roman Catholic and would say the Hail Mary for us. This was unique for my sister and me because as little kids, we didn't hear that much about Mary in the Episcopal Church, except at Christmas time when she was acknowledged as Jesus' mother. So because of that, I have always been intrigued with stories which included the Virgin Mary. So when choosing a topic to preach on today, it was a no-brainer for me. We have just heard in our gospel reading this morning the passage of scripture known as Mary's Song, probably better known as the Magnificat, which means praise. This is Mary's song of praise to God. It spills out of her heart after her relative Elizabeth, the expectant mother of John the Baptist, acknowledged her blessedness as the mother of Jesus. Mary's song focuses on God's great works, especially his tendency to turn everything upside down. He took notice of a lowly servant girl when choosing a mother for the Messiah, rather than selecting a woman of prominence. The late professor William Barclay once wrote, "There's a loveliness in the Magnificat. In that loveliness, there's dynamite. And it is dynamite because it turns the world's values upside down." I found this interesting tidbit showing just how explosive Mary's song was believed to be. During the last days of the British Raj in India, there was a Christian community that was regularly visited by the police because of its known sympathies with Indian nationalism. The then Archbishop of Canterbury, William Temple, went on to warn the church leaders not to include the Magnificat in his church services, telling them that it's a revolutionary canticle that could provoke trouble. Mary's song can be so unnerving because it challenges us to consider our values and goals. Are we striving for the wrong things in life? How much of our lives are devoted to seeking security, reputation, and power? How often do I hold on to my material blessings rather than sharing them with the poor and hungry? In Mary's song text, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. We understand that Jesus' birth brings us the message of hope through Jesus' commitment and concern for those who were less fortunate, who were oppressed by those in authority. This message is very important for us as we walk through Advent, remembering those around us who are oppressed and bringing them the message of hope through Jesus' love, care, and concern. In Mary's words, she takes the focus off of herself and places the focus back on Jesus and his ability to bring hope, joy, and love into our world. She is the vehicle through which this will happen. She knows that we often fail in our attempts to be what we should be. Yet God's message to her was one of affirmation. He encouraged her, he gave her strength, he gave her hope. Jesus did not go to those who were haughty, powerful, or rich. He specifically went to those who needed him the most. And in doing so, he set the example for all of us to follow. The material world did not apply to Jesus. He was not concerned with successes achieved in the world, but instead with internal, external hope, peace, justice, joy, compassion, and love. God continues to demonstrate his love and compassion for us as he has in the past, through our present, and as he will continue to do in our future. Mary was an extraordinary woman. One of my favorite remarks about her is when we are told she kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Again, she didn't apply her intellect to what was happening to her. She pondered in her heart. She applied her heart. She accepted what she didn't understand, and she was willing to never understand. Think of that, to be aware of something cosmic happening within you and know that you will never fully understand it. That takes great patience and strength, especially if we remember her age, which was roughly guessed at from 12 to 15. I can tell you with no shame that at that age, I was a typical teen with no forethought as to what I wanted to do when I grew up, let alone how I could influence the world. Here we see Mary very eloquently putting it this way: God is mindful of our humble state. And when I read that, I was quite surprised to see the word mindful, because I thought that was a modern word of expression. But there it was written, the Lord being mindful of our humble state. Mary was utterly amazed at what God was going to do, not only for her as the mother of Jesus, but because her Jesus was God's intervention into mankind's fallen state and who would restore that relationship to God. What a responsibility. And so Mary knew God was working his redemptive purposes out when she sang, "His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation." I don't believe the purpose of the Magnificat is to make us feel guilty for what we have in the way of possessions or influence. Rather, it calls us to devote our lives to being more like Mary, a willing and humble servant to God. It reminds us, like Israel, we are called to be God's servants in the world, serving others as a reflection and extension of God's kingdom. Mary's song stirs in me a desire to live today for what really matters, so that God might use me for his purposes and glory. Mary was an ordinary human being who found herself in extraordinary circumstances because of God's grace. An ordinary human being just like any of us. Each of us, all of us, can be available to God's grace at any time, with patience and acceptance, to choose to take that leap and simply say to God, "Here I am." Amen.